La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 39 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside Jeff Toriel, I'm Jenny Stevens. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or your favorite podcast platform, we're so glad that you joined us this week. And if you like what you hear, do us a favor and subscribe, rate the show, and write us a brief review. It would mean a lot to us. Our month-long celebration of Women's Her Story Month continues today. What's coming up, Jeff?
Jenny, coming up in this week's Triton Spotlight, we're going to chat with UC San Diego head softball coach Patty Gerkins. She shares her journey from player to coach and how she ended up at the helm at UC San Diego. What a story. Since arriving here in La Jolla, Patty led the team to their first NCAA national championship title in 2011. And now she's guiding the team in their first year of Division I competition. That started off with an incredible win in extra innings. Our conversation with Patty Gerkins will come your way shortly in today's Triton Spotlight.
But first, we go around campus. After a break for finals week, a few Triton teams returned to action over the weekend. Women's water polo claimed the Harper Cup for the fifth straight year with a win over SDSU on Sunday, while softball split its doubleheader against USD. Also, the golf team hosted the UC San Diego Invitational earlier this week, while the women's tennis team picked up their first win of the Division I era. There's plenty of action scheduled for this weekend, so make sure to check out UCSDTritons.com for the latest schedules and scores.
And now, it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with head softball coach, Patty Gerkins.
So, Patty, before we dive into your coaching career, let's start off with your playing career. When you look back on your time playing softball at the University of North Carolina, what stands out to you?
Well, it was definitely a growing program. It had just turned to fast pitch 2 years prior to my arriving there. And we didn't have a conference. Well, actually, we did. It was us and UVA were the two ACC teams. So whenever we played each other, that's who won the conference championship, we said. but I have great memories, some great games. I played under a Hall of Fame coach, Donna Papa, who, I admire. And I still, root for the Tar Heels all the time.
So what was next for you playing-wise then after your time at UNC?
Well, I was playing on a summer league called the New Jersey Blue Jays. So every summer when I would go back to New Jersey, we would play. And it was great, very, very competitive. And just, some of the best athletes in the area or on the team. And then, when that would be over, we usually went to nationals each summer. And then, after the summer, I'd go back to UNC. So I still played after UNC for a couple more years. I don't remember exactly how much longer, but I still wasn't ready to give it up.
And when we were facing teams, were those like teams from across the nation or who were you playing?
Well, we basically stayed in New Jersey, in Connecticut, New York, but we would play in the regional tournament, and then inevitably, each year we'd play in the national tournament. So we would play teams, from all over the country.
So then how did you eventually decide to get into coaching?
Well, I actually, my fifth year at UNC, I was an assistant coach there. And then after I graduated, I was a teacher and a coach back in New Jersey at a high school. And, it was great. I had majored in, health, physical education. I wanted to stay in coaching. And so I became the volleyball and softball coach at high school. But, I felt like I wanted more in the fact that I wanted at a higher level. Mm-hmm. And so, was there for a couple of years, and then unfortunately, enrollment dropped. So I was let go. And that's actually what brought me out here to San Diego, because I wanted to get my master's in sports psychology, and San Diego State had a really strong program at the time.
Did you say that you coached volleyball as well?
I did.
Huh. So did you play that growing up too, alongside of softball?
Volleyball and basketball.
Okay. Yes.
Love volleyball. Love volleyball.
Very cool. You think you're going to pick that up at UC San Diego at any point?
No. No. I love watching it. I love the competition. I love how it's always moving. I love the fast pace of it. And I mean, even that game has changed tremendously. We didn't have liberos, when I played, and it was not rally serving. It was very different, but it's such a great game.
So you arrive in San Diego. What was it like for you getting the head coach job at UC San Diego with softball?
Well, I didn't get it initially. I came to get, was the assistant coach here for a year and a half. And then in December of my second year, the head coach got a head coach job back on the East Coast. So I actually became the interim head coach, and I was in the last semester of my master's. So I decided to put that on hold for the semester, become the interim coach, and then, see what would happen from there. And we had a tremendous season that year. We went 6-28. And it was definitely a learning experience for everyone. It was, questioned whether or not I wanted to coach. I really was thrown right into it. I had no real coaching experience at the college level, but I had a lot of people who, Judy Sweet and Earl Edwards, they were, right there for me, and Ken Gross, and they just, Marilyn Hill, these were all people that just really believed in me and made it easier for me. And that belief, I learned to love it. And, I don't know why, but they kept me on, and I was grateful because, 30 years later, I'm still here.
Was it hard transitioning from coaching at the high school level versus college softball?
Yeah, not hard, because I became the assistant coach first. So, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the level of intensity at the college level. And that's what I was missing, at the high school level. And not to say that there aren't high schools with that. That just wasn't what I wanted at the time. I wanted to be at the college level.
So how was it those first few years getting over that hump of developing your confidence and getting confident with the head coaching position?
It was a very difficult transition because, you're so used to waiting for somebody else to say something, and you realize that, you're the person that has to speak next, and you have to make the decisions. And I did enjoy much of that, but with those decisions came a lot of, wrong decisions, and I had to learn from them and grow and, become a better coach with different athletes and different personalities. And, my athletes have taught me so much, and, it was a struggle because you are trying to coach anywhere from 18 to, 22 collegiate women who have different personalities, and you're a young coach, so you're not sure about certain things, but you, as I say, you have to fake it till you make it, so to speak. And, I had to do that a lot. But again, I could not have done it without the support from my administration and also from my family, I would say. So, coaching is just different every year, and it doesn't matter, as you get older and with coaching, you still question things about, decisions that you make, but you start to feel a lot more comfortable about who you are as a person. And I think when you can feel good about that, it's okay that you can admit mistakes. Mm-hmm. You can admit when things are tough for you. You are able to see the athletes when they're struggling And it's not just on the field, but there's other things in their life that you're trying to, you know, maybe help them out with, or just make them realize that, you know, softball is a game and it's intense and they're here, you know, for school and to play. But, you know, you just, when you get more comfortable with who you are, you get more comfortable finding out about them. And what I have found over the years is really, that's what it's all about. It's the relationships. And when you're younger, you're afraid to make those relationships because you never want to lose your subjectivity. You always want to keep your objectivity, but you realize that you need both. And to be the best coach that you possibly can be, you have to be able to relate to them. And probably more so, sometimes you have to allow yourself to open up so that they can relate to you. And, you know, that's a process and it takes time.
Yeah, absolutely. In the ninth year of your coaching journey at UC San Diego, the team moved from Division III to Division II. What was that transition like for you?
You know, it was, I mean, we were excited to make the transition, and why I loved it so much is because now we had a conference. Mm-hmm. You know, prior to that, I had to make the schedule for every single team that we played. Now we come into a conference, CCAA, which already is a very competitive conference. I, you know, have a schedule that's pretty much already set. And so that was so exciting. And, you know, to have, you know, standings and, you know, players and pitchers of the week. It just felt like we were definitely moving forward in the right direction. And the competition in the CCAA was just amazing. Like, there were no down weekends ever, never. You just had to always stay on top of things. And I think we were definitely ready as a university and as an athletic department to move.
Were there any difficulties that came along with joining a new conference?
No, I can't really call. If there were, I don't remember because that was such a long time ago. I tend to not remember a lot of things, but I think it was a pretty easy transition. I think we were set up in the right way to do that. And I think it was great.
Well, that's great to hear. And obviously things worked out very nicely because the team spent 20 years in Division II. I've got to imagine of the 20 years, the D2 National Championship was probably a highlight for you. When you reflect back on that 2011 season, what stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I still shake my head at that because, you know, your dream is to, you know, always, you know, win the national championship. And I think a lot of people think that road is an easy road to go through. And by no means was that an easy year. We struggled in different ways. We had to really come together at the end. And what I really recall is that it finally took at the end of the year, a buy-in by all the players and by some of the leaders that stood up and said, this is what we want to do. And this is what we need to do. And they did it. They made the decision, and they just started playing, you know, together. And of course, you know, our pitcher, Camille Algueto, which, you know, you can't talk about that season or that tournament without bringing her name up because she pitched every pitch in the regional tournament, in the national tournament. And I mean, she was amazing. And, you know, without her, we definitely would not have been able to do it. But at the end, the final game, when it was just one game, our seniors just, I mean, they had a game that you look back on and every single one of them just contributed. And that's what you wish for seniors, to go out with a bang. And unfortunately not everybody does, but that was a dream year.
You mentioned that buy-in from the team. How critical is it to have scholar athletes who take those leadership positions seriously on the team?
I don't see how a team can really excel without leadership. And leadership is very hard to find because, you know, a lot of this generation doesn't want to hurt people's feelings. They don't want to get their teammates mad at them. And, you know, I've really been just trying to tell them lately that, you know, when you're a leader, it's the team, this is business. It's not personal. And that's what you have to learn, is that in order to become better, you need people to push one another. In order to push one another, you need to know that, you know, you've deposited enough good things in them that they're not going to, that they're not going to forget. Like, even if you say something negative to them, they're still going to know that you believe in them. And, you know, that's why the leadership is so tough, because a lot of, you don't have strength. You don't have those leaders that will do that a lot of time.
So before we dive into the Division I discussion, I want to talk with you about the end of the Division II era, because it was pretty abrupt. Obviously, last year, the season was canceled due to the pandemic. You guys were in the middle of your season. You were 21 and 8. What was that conversation like when you gave the team the news?
It was tough. It was really tough. We got together in a room upstairs. And it's actually been the last time that we've been in a room together. And to just, you know, say that our season was over, and, you know, to watch the seniors, well, not just seniors, so many people just get emotional. It was tough. It was one of the toughest things as a coach that I've ever had to do, really.
We've talked quite a bit about leadership among the scholar athletes. Did any of your players kind of take the lead on helping others get through the situation?
You know, I'm sure they did in their own way. You know, because we were so isolated from each other, you know, it's hard to say what people, how they helped others. I know that we did have Zoom meetings. We kept the Zoom meetings going. We kept the talk going. But, you know, it's just such a weird time that you're by yourself, and you're just, you don't know what everybody was doing. I mean, you're just supposed to stay at home, and it's never happened in our lives, and hopefully it will never happen again. But it was just surreal. You just be like, really, our season's over? How did this happen? When did this happen? How are we not seeing people? I mean, there was like a death. It was like, it was going through a grief for sure. And I think that most teams across the country would tell you that, because, you know, we talk about this all the time, that at any given moment, something can be taken away. Someone could get injured, but never, you know, do you ever imagine a pandemic taking place that it literally changes your whole life? And it did.
Yeah, certainly. And of course, a year later, we're still feeling the effects of the pandemic, although things are improving. How was it for you and the team adjusting to the new protocols with COVID this year, like frequent COVID testing?
You know, we were just happy to be out here, and, you know, whatever we needed to do, we just got used to it, you know. And it's now, it's, you just know that 3 times a week you have to test, and that's just part of your routine. So it's, again, it's like, you know, taking a shower. You just need to do it and make sure it's done, and make sure that the equipment is sanitized, make sure that we are washing our hands, keeping our distance, keeping our masks on. And, you know, it's normal. It's just the new normal that we have come to accept and be happy that we can play, because I know there are teams that are not playing. But the fact that we are at that point right now, where we're in season, we're playing games, yeah, you know, nothing is too tough for us anymore, because we just want to play.
We're here with head coach Patty Gerkins on this episode of Tritoncast. Patty, it's the first year of Division I. When you look at the transition, did it remind you at all of the transition from Division III to Division II?
The excitement of it, the newness of it, yes. I mean, you know, when I first started here, when it was a Division III under athletic director Judy Sweet, I actually really felt that it would always become a Division I institution. And I would always say, I don't know if I'll still be here when it does. I said, and I would say this to everyone, because it was just run just superbly, and it continues to be run well. And it just, it's just exciting, because now you finish, you know, I can finish my career whenever that is at this level. And to be honest with you, I love Division II. There is there's competition galore at every level, but it's fun that the newness, that we're playing all different teams now, at this level, and the excitement around campus, and just, I don't know. It's just, it's really, it's a fun time here.
What was the reaction from the team being in their first year of Division I?
I think, you know, we're still seeing this. We're still learning. You know, we've started to play some games. We realize that the game is still the game, but it's a little bit faster. And, you know, we have to get comfortable with how fast it is, but the game, you know, still demands us to hustle out and on and off the field. The game still demands that we respect one another and the umpires and the opponents. And so the game hasn't changed. And it's just the level that, you know, people come in with an attitude that, you know, we want to do well at this level. We don't want to say, oh, you know, it's our first year, you know, we'll see how we do. No, I mean, we have a team that has high expectations, and they demand a lot from the coaches, and that's great. That's who we recruited.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was an incredible start for you guys to the Division I era. Your first game of the season, you beat Grand Canyon 6-5 in 11 innings. Walk me through what was going through your head in that final play of the game when Bobby Aguirre was at the plate.
Well, you know, people who do know me know that I do like bunting. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a lost art many times. And just so happened that Bobby Aguirre is probably one of our top hitters, and she's also our best bunter. And at that point, it's the 11th inning. We probably should have ended the game in regular time, but, you know, nonetheless, here it is, 11th inning. We are speed on three and our best bunter up. And it just seemed like, you know, the perfect opportunity to do that. And she laid a beautiful bunt down, and game over. And it was just, it was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, knowing you, it was very appropriate that it ended in that way. What did it mean to you and the team to get that first Division I win in the very first game of the D1 era?
You know, it's always important. A win's a win. Like there's just something that the adrenaline that goes through you when you win, especially like that, but in the bottom of an inning, but, and a walk off, but it's just such a great feeling. I think it just proved to the team who they've been working so hard. And just, like I said, they've been following the protocols. They've been doing everything. I was just so proud of them, because, you know, to watch them have that thrill that hasn't been in their life on the field for a year was just, as a coach, that's what you do. That's what you live for, is that competition and that adrenaline and that push. And when you see that excitement and that love that on the field, you know, that's what competition's all about.
How would you describe this year's team?
I would say that we are getting stronger. We are realizing that, again, the game is a little bit faster, and that maybe in the past we could have got away with some things, but we need to be stronger. And so they want more. They want things to be a little bit tougher. They wanted the practices to be tougher so that in the games we can play. And that's exactly how it should be. So I think that they're finding out their limits. They are going to be pushing each other more as we get into conference very soon. I'm glad that we have one more series or doubleheader before conference, but I think that we're going to see some great things from this team. And I think that they're going to continue to, you know, push themselves and make us all work harder.
You mentioned that Big West play is right around the corner. What do you expect from the conference since this is your first year with them?
You know, that's the best part. I remember going into Division II and nobody knew us. Just like now, nobody really knows us. The difference is that because we're on ESPN, you know, people can watch us and we're grateful that we're on ESPN, but now they can also scout us. When we went into Division II, nobody had seen us play. So, you know, what do I expect? I expect to compete in every series. Will we win every game? No, but I want to go in with it. The attitude that we are going to play hard and we're going to risk and we're going to, you know, leave there with the feeling that we deserve to be here. That's my hope.
You touched on those ESPN3 broadcasts, and of course that means the other team can see you, but so can all the fans and families and parents of the scholar athletes. What does it mean to you to be able to have your game broadcast in that way?
Oh, it's outstanding. It's, you know, first of all, for these parents who can't see their daughters play in person, it couldn't be any better for them. I mean, it's just an excellent media source for them to, you know, click on and see from different angles. And I mean, it's so exciting that this is happening for us right now. And again, a big, you know, kudo to ESPN, a big kudo to Dana Chankin, who is one of our alumni, a softball alumni, who, you know, contributed a good deal of money so that ESPN was impressed with our broadcast booth. And I'm so impressed with the men and women who, like yourself, Jenny, who are just doing such great things to promote all the sports here. So thank you.
Well, of course, thank you, Patty, for what you do as well with our scholar athletes. So you guys are joining the Big West and there are some familiar faces there. You've got your former player, Nikki Palmer at UC Riverside. You've got your former player, Aaron Thorpe at UC Davis. Are you looking forward to facing them this season?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm so proud of them. I mean, what they've done with their programs and yeah, I cannot wait to be on the field with them. It's going to be such an honor. And, you know, I just, that's again, alumni, are just very important to me. And I always want them to know that without them, you know, the program is where it is because of them, because of people like them. And they were two unbelievable athletes who did so much here. So look forward to playing against them.
Yeah. And of course, they're just two of the scholar athletes you've coached who went on to become coaches. What does it mean to you when you see your former players go on to have the same career path that you have?
It's a great question. It's pride because I love the sport and I try to give that love, you know, to them when I coach. And so if they leave here still loving the game, or more so than when they even came in, where they can go coach, it means that I did something right for them. Because I just want to serve them. I just want them to know that they are the most important people, no matter what they do, obviously. But when they can go out and coach, it means that, you know, I gave them a little bit of my love for the game.
Well, clearly the alumni means so much to you. When you have a scholar athlete here, what do you hope they get out of their time with Triton softball?
Our entire coaching staff really recruits athletes with the idea that, number one, they're scholars. Number two, they're athletes. But we don't want to just build them up on the field. We want to empower them as young women. We want them to leave here, UCSD, with a feeling of confidence and a feeling that they can go out and conquer anything. That's really what our main goal is here. And the softball field is just a microcosm of life. And so our goal as a staff is, you know, to teach them the life skills, you know, to get how to get along with people, how to deal with conflict, how to cooperate, you know, and have the healthy conversations, what we call, that aren't easy, to build leaders. And then if we've done our job, then, you know, they're going to go out and be successful, which they all are, you know, out in the real world. So that's what gives us the pride. That's what we want to instill in these young women.
Well, like you said, your former scholar athletes have gone on to do such great things, and it's always fun to see them back most years for the alumni game. What does it mean to you to keep those bonds over the years and have them come back and be so excited about the program?
Oh, that's my favorite day of the year when I can see them out there and they're playing and they're having fun. And of course I'm a little concerned with some of them, you know, getting hurt a little bit, but yeah, you know what? The fun part is when they see each other who they haven't seen in a year's time. And so, you know, it's just my face hurts from smiling all the time on that day, because they're just so grateful to be back and to have the friendships that they formed. And, I miss that alumni. In fact, we are hoping to see if we could get together Zoom with an alumni base in a couple of weeks or so, because I think that's important to stay in touch with them. And again, to continue to tell them that, you know, this, the program is where it is because of them, because of what they've done and what they have, you know, what they mean to me and the coaching staff.
Well, we're celebrating Women's Her Story Month here, all month long on TritonCast. How important is it for you to support other women, whether it's players or coaches or alumni, and for other women to have your back as well?
Oh, it's vital. And I think more women need to do that more. I would say that, number one, more women need to network with each other more. Men do that very, very well. You know, if there's a job opening, women need to share that with other people, share that with administration. And I think that when a woman has another woman's back like that, it speaks volumes, because then there's trust, and trust goes such a long way. And we just need, as women, to feel more confident to do that and to uplift and to edify each other more, because women can do a lot of things, and they have, and they're strong, and they will continue to get stronger. But we need the backing of other women to be that strength and that wall.
Who have been some of your biggest supporters throughout your coaching career?
My mother, number one, has been my biggest supporter. Let's say Judy Sweet. She has really played a very large part in my career, which I'm so grateful for. I had mentioned Donna Papa from UNC. She's been great. And then just many of my friends who have been coaches, you know, just playing a really important role in my life. So, yeah, it's they're really important women to me.
And how do they support you?
Well, I think that I am in contact with many of them, you know, on a regular basis, just kind of, you know, support as far as just maybe throwing ideas at them, sharing concepts with them, it's just sharing war stories, so to speak, at times, you know, that I'm not the only one going through things. Coaches, you know, how can we deal with this? The softball community, the coaching staffs, softball coaches are very close knit. And that's what I love. They don't hide things. Like, We have a great NFCA. Carol Brugman is the executive director. And, you know, we're able to share a lot of things. We learn a lot from other coaches. We have a mentoring program for younger coaches as well. But it's just, I don't know, you know, you can pick up the phone and you can call someone. And I've done that on many occasions, and it makes you just feel like you're not alone.
Absolutely. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that you're approaching your 30th season. You're in season 29 right now at UC San Diego. Almost three decades. What do you hope your legacy will be once you do eventually leave UC San Diego?
Oh, wow, that's a long time. you know, again, I just, that I was a good person, that my athletes knew I cared about them. I pushed them. They might look back now and realized again, you know, during the time that it was tough, but that we taught them life lessons. And that the legacy is that they made a difference at UCSD, and they made a difference in my life. So the legacy is just that they have been the foundation here, and I've been grateful to serve them.
Well, we're grateful that all that you do, Patty. And thank you so much for joining us on TritonCast today. We're very grateful for your time.
Thank you, Jenny, very much. Cheers to...
Jenny, thanks for that conversation. I learned so much, and it was so enjoyable to hear about Patty's tenure here at UC San Diego. So many things I learned there. And also, it was so cool to get an inside look at what it was like being part of that magical run in 2011.
Yeah, what an incredible accomplishment for her and the team. And it's just so great to hear what strong ties she still has to all her alumni over the years, because you can tell that Patty just cares so much about them and has made such a big difference in all of their lives.
No question about that. It certainly is more than your standard player-coach relationship. It truly is deep and meaningful, and you do love to see that.
Absolutely. Well, our celebration of Women's Her Story Month continues next week on episode 40 of TritonCast. We'll chat with Triton head women's tennis coach, Liz LaPlante, who has spent 41 years at UC San Diego. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's show. And don't forget, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Verbal.
For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you've got suggestions for a future guest, send us a tweet or email Jeff and me at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast.